this week we're going to focus on what is the Bible, why are we studying it, why are we praying, and then next time we'll launch into some of the practical application of it. But we're going to be talking about the practical application of laying the foundation this week, so it's not just going to be kind of ethereal head knowledge this week. We're going to talk about, so please be ready to share with us some things that you do to be able to study and read so we can encourage each other. So before we start, I wanted to go around and introduce ourselves, and so maybe just say your name, and then share, if you've been to EWIT before, what you have enjoyed or learned or been challenged by something, and if you haven't been before, something that you're looking forward to learning or you're hoping we're going to address. So let's talk about what we're going to talk about tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about laying the foundation. And the very first quote on, so this is a workbook essentially. When this whole beautiful packaged book comes together one day and it is in our hands, it will be a really great workbook, and you have the application pages right now in front of you to the end of chapter one, which is laying the foundation. So I'm looking at it kind of talking about some of these talking points that you would have if you had the workbook. And it basically is, we're just going to flesh it out and discuss it and read some scriptures together. And then we're going to talk about some of the how-to of this. So the first chapter on laying the foundation, it starts with this really great quote, "Allow the Bible to be the grid through which you pour every other idea." Which is such a great way to think about that. And the key things that I want us to think about tonight and walk away with are, why do we study the Bible? Because it's God's word. He has spoken to us. And why do we pray? Because we're talking to God and aligning our hearts with his. So keep those in the forefront of your mind as we're thinking through laying the foundation. And this is the idea of excellent wife and training and all the seasons that we go through. Because being a woman isn't always being a wife, it isn't always being a mother, but it is always serving, because we are servants of Christ. And that might mean serving in your home, but it might mean serving in your community, it might mean serving in the church, it might be in your workplace, it might be where you're going to school. It's serving, and maybe in your neighborhood. And so this is applicable for whatever season you're in. And if you don't have young children at home, it'll be applicable for someone you know, because you're in a body and you're in a community and there are young children there. You might be an aunt, you might be a grandma. All of this is applicable for every person because it's God's truth. And don't feel like you can't speak that truth to someone because you don't have a young child or because you haven't been married. And fill in the blank. God's truth is truth for all people at all times. It's always relevant. We don't have to be afraid to be like, well, I don't have a teenager, so I can't encourage you with that truth yet. Yes, you can. People, we, you, me, I need to be encouraged, and so do you. So let's take this truth and meditate on it for ourselves and remind ourselves the importance of laying up the foundation on God's word so that we'll be prepared in the season when it comes, which probably won't be while you're sitting at a table in a quiet room with a Bible, right? It's probably going to be in the grocery, at the checkout, with a lot of noise and impatient things happening around you. You'll be able to speak truth where you are, etc. Yeah. All right, so let's talk about what we spend our time on. All right, this is going to be so fun. I'm so excited. Who wants to look up a scripture for us? Who wants to turn it open to Isaiah? Christina?
Sure.
You have a Bible. All right, Isaiah 58. Anna, do you want to open up to Psalm 119? Nadia, 1 Timothy 4. Angela, do you want to open up to Colossians 3? And Sarah, Proverbs 3. Lizzie, Galatians 5. Sydney, Isaiah 55. Christine, 2 Timothy 2. And Edie, do you want to open up to Philippians 4? And let's see. Christy, do you want to hold a baby or open your Bible? What do you feel like you want to do? You hold a baby. All right. Sue, you want to open up to Psalm 119. You're going to be on verse 159. Yes. I'm sorry, Erica, I don't have a scripture for you yet. Yes, I do. Psalm 42. There we go.
Well, we had just the right amount. Oh, isn't that amazing?
But then you feel left out.
Okay. Okay.
All right, great. Okay, so the truth is that we have time to do what's important to us, right? So who can raise their hand internally? You don't have to do it externally. I'll do it externally. Who knows that they spend time on things that are important, and then they're like, oh, I just didn't have time to work out. I just didn't have time to make a big salad, so I grabbed the chicken nuggets, PB&J, leftover pizza, whatever, fill in the blank, right? We know that we spend the time on the things that are important to us, and hopefully you are spending your time putting in the effort to be a part of your local body. Your primary time in your daily life has to be time with the Lord. No matter if you have one child or two or 15 or if you have no children, your primary responsibility must be spending time with the Lord. It's not going to look the same for all of us, but we need to remember that's even more important than maintaining our physical bodies, which we do work hard at, right? Like we take vitamins, we make sure we're drinking our water, we make sure that we're taking walks, etc. We have to be prioritizing these things because we know our earthly bodies are going to fade. It's just temporary, but God's word will last forever. And the things that we're doing to stimulate and grow in godliness, that will last for eternity, and it will profit for eternity. Will you read to us Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14, Christina, please?
If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
So that's our encouragement from the Lord, that we will have blessing and enjoyment when we honor what he has said in spending our time in the local body and prioritizing what he says is important. As well, the Lord has also instructed us to keep our home, submit to our husbands, listen to the proclamation of the word, and raise godly children. These things matter for eternity. They don't necessarily get a lot of worldly acclaim, but they matter for eternity. So we need to keep speaking that truth to our heart when we feel the pressure of the world, when we feel discontent that we aren't doing something that matters, when we don't have recognition. It's challenging not to get like a thank you or a raise or get like a plaque on the wall or a parking space saved for us because we are washing dishes and making dinners and we didn't burn it this week, the whole week. And there's nothing that really is happening in our life except people are just surviving, you know? Who has 1 Timothy 4:8?
I have 1 Timothy.
Can you read that, Nadia, please?
4:8? Just 8.
Yeah.
For the training of the body has limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come.
Amen. So our bodies that are we are working hard to preserve, like in some form, right? Like we all brush our teeth probably. So we are keeping our teeth healthy, but they are going to fall out, and eventually we won't be here anymore, and our teeth brushing will have been to no end. Like, it's going to be, right? It's good for us to remember that when we feel pressed for time. Like, oh no, I have time for like eyeliner or reading a few scriptures. Like, what do I do? And that probably is not a real battle in our hearts, but we do get pressed for time, and we have to choose things to pick and pull and to put in our day. And so being able to remember, it's okay if everything is not exactly the way that I want in this area, like all the towels are folded just the way I want, or every dish is perfect, or I've got this much time. What am I going to do with it to be able to grow in godliness today? I shouldn't neglect washing my dishes or sweeping my floor. But for sure, I shouldn't spend all of my time doing that, and I have spent no time building myself up in godliness, because where will the strength come from to do the floors and the dishes? Like, eventually my strength will wane, right? And then my husband will walk in the door, or a child will, like, come in or do something, and suddenly I don't have anything in me to give. Why? Because there's nothing in me in the first place to give. It was all from the Lord. That's where my strength has to come from. Who has Colossians 3:17?
I have Colossians 3, but I didn't hear.
Oh, sorry. I probably just told you the chapter. Yeah, 17. You read 3:17 to us.
Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks through him to God the Father.
Amen. So all of our work, including the teeth brushing and the dusting and sweeping, is for the Lord's glory, and we can do it joyfully for him when we filled up our soul in him, because we're remembering all this work is for him. Even if our husbands don't tell us thank you, even if our roommate doesn't say thank you, or our kids say thank you, or even if we ourselves don't even, like, we're still dissatisfied. Like, my standard is this, and I haven't reached it, and the day is over. Our work is for the Lord, and we can take pleasure in that. That is our standard. Who has Psalm 119, 105?
I didn't hear the verse right. I was hoping it was not the whole thing.
It is not the whole thing. True story, my husband did have someone read in First Kings at Bible study one time, and it was so painful, we all laughed because it was full of lots of long, multi-syllable names, and they looked at him afterwards, and he's like, I'm really sorry.
You said 105.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Amen. Okay, so in light of that scripture, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, like a flashlight. Think about your day. When you wake up in the morning, do you know everything you're going to encounter for that day? Do you know the best way to righteously handle every situation that is going to arise? You're going to make numerous decisions, take numerous actions, have numerous thoughts, say numerous words, experience numerous temptations and emotions, and that's all before lunchtime. That really, like, hits home. We really need God's word. And if you think about that when you're waking up in the morning or even before you go to bed at night, that would really make getting God's word into you and spending time with the Lord of utmost importance, wouldn't it? If you knew, man, tomorrow morning I'm going to run a marathon, a spiritual marathon, I had better be ready. Think of all the training that people do for marathons, right? They, like, plan out their whole lives for how many hours to be running, and they buy special equipment, and they drink and eat special things that really don't taste good. And they're like, I want to be doing this. I'm going to conquer this thing. That should be our attitude. Like, I want to conquer my day. I want to live for Christ tomorrow. I've got to be ready. If I just wake up and hope it's just going to go well, it's going to be a challenge. And that, I want you to think of that in your mind, because that's something I want us to think about later on, is what does it look like when we aren't spending that time with the Lord? All right, who has Proverbs 3? Sarah, is that you?
Mm-hmm.
All right, would you read verses 5 and 6?
This is my theme verse.
You don't even have to read it. Can you just say it? That would be nice.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding and all your ways. Acknowledge him and he will make it past straight.
Amen.
I had it, the Harris's burned out in the wood for me, and it was over my bed at school.
Nice. That's beautiful. Okay, so there's a motto for you in case you're wondering, what should I memorize next? Proverbs 3 is precious. So I think we would all agree we are not prepared to do all the things that God is going to put before us in our own strength. So then the question is your goal to bring him glory? And if so, are you walking in the Spirit so that you won't carry out the desires of your flesh? Who has Galatians 5:16?
I do. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh.
Yeah. What are some fleshly desires that we face during the day that can be challenging? Just in the mundane, like, I'm not talking about, like, I have some extraordinary, like, event I have to do. I'm just, like, getting up and brushing my teeth and going to work, or maybe I'm, like, exercising, I'm interacting with my neighbor, taking care of my family. What are some fleshly desires that are like, ooh, I've got to wrestle that? Does anybody want to share?
Social media.
How so?
Pick up your phone and before you pick up your Bible.
Yes.
Yeah. Hit the snooze button again.
I can relate to that one.
Grumpy because someone in your household doesn't read your mind.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Lay down.
I think you get a pass right away.
Yeah, something else.
Tell her two boys
have. Well, yeah, true.
So we have no ability to overcome our grumpiness, our distraction, temptation, our laziness, without putting our mind on the Lord's greatness, without seeking him for our needs every day. We can freely admit that. We're weak, we're needy, we cannot do it on our own. Let's be reminded of that in Isaiah. Who has 55:6? Isaiah 55:6. Okay, great.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him when he is near.
Amen. John MacArthur says, the transformed and renewed mind is the mind saturated with and controlled by the word of God. I'm going to read that again. The transformed and renewed mind is the mind saturated with and controlled by the word of God. So I'm thinking, like, imagine the way, like, we don't want to be, remember those old yellow sponges that our moms used to use? Maybe you still use that. I'm not going to say my moms, but my mom used to use one of those old, like, yellow sponges. And, like, when they're not used, like, overnight, maybe several days, they get really hard and dry, and they're like little rocks. And then you put them in the water, and they're just like, and they fluff up and you can use them for a bit. So like we want to be so saturated that we are bleeding bibbling. You press on us like that little sponge and out comes the Bible. Good or bad situation, right? Like we get pressed on, like people need us. We're like, I'm happy to serve. We have a joyful attitude. We're willing. We're yielding. Or people come and press on us with their worries or their expectations that we didn't meet. Oh, out comes also scripture. Out comes a joyful, cheerful attitude. We are willing to receive what the Lord brings in front of us. It's impossible to do that without saturating our minds in God's word. Charles Spurgeon said of John Bunyan, if you pricked him, he would bleed bibbling. He was Bible saturated. If we want to be successful wives and mothers, we need to bleed bibbling as well. We need to be putting time with the Lord at the top of our list. Who has 2 Timothy 2?
Me.
Would you read verse 15, please?
Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth.
Amen. It's critical to grasp how important this time with the Lord is, and you may even need, like I do, to ask the Lord to help you to have the time set aside for him and protect it and be faithful in it. So ask him. If you notice I don't have a desire really for reading the word that much, I just want to read one or two scriptures and be done, then pray, Lord, help me to develop a desire to read your word. If you notice I get up and immediately I want to like start doing things on my list, it's convenient, it's the right time and XYZ. And then, but what happens is I snowball and I just lose that time where it's quiet or set aside. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask God to help you to set aside that time in your day and protect it to spend time with him. There's not one special time. If you find that you're in a season where, maybe like Christy, you're up a lot, there is really no morning or evening at this point in your life. It's all just time. Then you might find that the best time for you is at 2 p.m. or in the evening. Perhaps your husband works nights. Maybe you get up the first thing in the morning and you have people who rise early, but then they're set about their tasks, whatever that is. If they're going to school or they're doing something, maybe mid-morning is the best time for you. There's not a more sanctified time. The time is the time that you go to do it. That is the best time. So where you're going to be consistent, then do it. One of the best things that you can do is find multiple points of your day to get God's word into you. So if you're thinking, I'm just going to sit down in the morning and spend like 2 hours with the Lord, it's going to be glorious. You might find yourself disappointed if you sleep in, if you hit the snooze, if you're sick, if your child is sick, if your husband is sick, if the car breaks down, there's like a whole list, right, of things that can take that time away from you. But if you have key points throughout your day, I'm going to wake up early and spend time with the Lord. And then mid-morning, I'm going to listen to some hymns and be reflecting on what those lyrics are that I'm singing. And at lunchtime, I'm going to pray for these handful of people on these certain days. Like this, like 5 minutes of each time, right? Maybe a little bit longer, but it's very short. What happens if you missed one? You've still got like 4 or 5 other opportunities during the day. In the afternoon, I'm going to listen to this podcast or this sermon or this teaching. In the evenings, I'm going to work on my Bible study. Before I go to bed, I'm going to get out my biography and read a little bit. You have now presented yourself with so many opportunities. It's almost impossible to fail, right? Unless you think you can do it in your own strength. There's so many ways that you can build in support for yourself if you know, I may not hit that one time, but I can add in lots of opportunities to be able. Think about it like eating. Do you eat one big meal a day? Some people do. You could do that. But most of us eat like, I'm going to eat a little now, and then in a little while I'm going to eat a little more, and I'm going to keep eating throughout the day. It's also helpful if you have a lot of people around you who are sinning. Because as they sin, you're like, I really need the Lord more and more. So you can be running to the Word as those opportunities are coming up. Okay, I'm going to... Oh, how much longer till 3 o'clock? Because that's the time you're going to go away and I'm going to have some time in the Word because I'm desperate, right? Susanna Spurgeon used to throw her apron up over her head and have like a little quiet corner. So if you don't have a big house or if you have a lot of people that are always around you or, you know, I don't know what that might look like for you, you can hide yourself under your apron maybe. And then you've got a moment, you know, that you can spend fighting to have the proper priority. Edie, you have Philippians 4:6, is that right?
Okay. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
Amen. Lean on this scripture about being anxious. Don't be anxious about how God will provide you strength to be able to do these things, or how you will be able to grow in godliness, or how you will be able to study. Remember as well that the enemy knows it is effective to sidetrack you, to distract you, to do anything that can keep you away from doing what really matters. So this is a fight. It's a battle. Just like we talked about a marathon or a fight, you can think about soldiers They don't go into battle with no practice or without any plan. They go with weapons, they're armed, they practice, they have an understanding. This is going to be hard. It's going to hurt. It's going to be painful. It's going to be sorrowful. It's going to be hard at times for you to spend time in the Word. It's going to feel hard. That's okay. The Lord doesn't say we need to feel happy, warm, squishy thoughts every time we open our Bible. We need to be obedient. And we need to remember what John 15 tells us. Abiding is where we find peace and joy. And abiding is keeping the commands. And that's where we are experiencing the fullness of love that God has for us when we are abiding. It's like a beautiful circle of we're experiencing the love that same love that God loves Jesus, he has for us as we're abiding and obeying. And we're experiencing it as we're abiding, as we're obeying. So we keep coming to the Word saying, I need you, I am dependent, Lord, give me strength, help me obey. And then we can continue to be walking because we're depending and we're not leaning on ourselves. Who has Psalm 119, 159, and 160?
That's me.
Yay! Will you read that for us too? 159 and
160. Yeah.
Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting.
Amen. So the encouragement here is seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and experience the power of Christ working in you. Without it, you will likely struggle and fail. But if you are willing to take the steps of obedience and seek him and ask him for help, you will see his faithfulness in your life. And you'll be encouraged. And you will grow. A.W. Tozer said, whatever keeps me from my Bible is my enemy, however harmless it may appear to be. Erica, you have Psalm 42:8. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, get that ready in just a second. We're going to read that. So let's start talking a little bit about how-tos. Are there any questions about what we've talked about in the first part of laying the foundation?
It's interesting. I just started reading a book. It's called Redeeming Productivity. And it's a Christian author, and he talks about the same thing about his big thing is about the morning routine and starting with prayer. And he said, just get up a little bit earlier. And he said, you could get everything done in like 30 minutes if that. Yeah. But it's, you know, again, how you start your day tends to kind of set the tone.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I was just reading about that earlier too, and it was not talking about prayer, it was talking about food. But I was like, oh, this is just like living our life for the Lord, right? So it was like, if you get up in the morning and you eat something like pancakes or donuts or something, it kind of sets you up to kind of want sweet, sugary things like that all day. It doesn't mean you're going to eat them, it just means it's going to be harder not to want them because you started off that way. But if you get up and you start with something that's going to fill you up, that has more protein like eggs or yogurt or something without a lot of sugar, it will not give you the head start toward all of that craving. I'm like, oh, that's just like when we get up and we start our day. I'm setting my mind on the Lord, thanking him, thinking about him, praying for others, spending time with him in his word. And my mind is already geared toward that. It doesn't mean my day is going to be easier, but it's easier to know. I know what to do. I remember that scripture I read or remind myself, this is all in the Lord's control. Whatever thing's happening right now that I don't really like, it's okay. God's in charge of this. Okay, I can yield to that.
I liked what you said, too, about, like, the five-minute increments throughout the day, because then you don't have to feel like, oh, I missed the morning, I failed.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Like, I'll try again tomorrow.
No. Yeah. Yeah, like, the whole day.
Keep going.
Yes, I saw something recently, and I was like, that is so true, and it sounds hilarious when you hear someone else say it. They were like, if you skipped brushing your teeth one day, would you just throw away your toothbrush forever? No, why don't you know? Like, well, then why do you feel like, you know, if you eat a cookie, you should just eat the whole box? Like, well, I'm like, that's so funny because it sounds same thing. Like, oh, I skipped my devotions. I guess I can't read the Bible all day.
I know.
What am I thinking? So let's talk about personal devotions. When I was a new mom and my kids were small, it was a challenge to read the Bible. And definitely for my first couple kids, I thought, if I could just get enough sleep, then I will be a godly focused mom. I just need sleep. Sleep will fix it. And then if I get sleep and like we have a routine and I have good, healthy food, all of our life will be in control. And I'll have time to study the word and understand it. And it probably wasn't until maybe kid number 3 or 4 that someone was like, do you think maybe that it would be more important for you to read God's word than to get sleep? And I was like, do you know? But, you know, they did, because they were also a mom with children. So I was like, okay, they do know. So I really was taken aback by that, and it was very convicting. And I realized, by God's kindness, I had made an idol out of getting my rest, that that was the most important thing. And actually it wasn't. Getting God's word was the most important thing. That was my lifeline. And so it took a real mind shift. So the next kid that I had, I was like, I have to get the Bible into me. I would fall asleep listening to the audio Bible, you know, like on my chair or whatever. I would, even just I read the same verse over and over, I made note cards, I did whatever I could to get God's word into me, even if it was just, all I'm doing is just clinging to these 2 or 3 verses for this like 2 month period where I've got a newborn and I'm trying to take care of my family. We're surviving. We can do it. That was sufficient. So let me encourage you that this is the most important thing, is to be able to spend time with the Lord. And it's not the other things that we think that we need. Even in hard seasons of illness or newborns, family dynamics changing, even in severe trauma that is happening in our life, when people are ill or dying, it is so important that we keep our minds focused on God's word, so that we can rightly perceive the situation and we can keep tethering our hearts to hope, and we don't allow ourselves to fall into worldly patterns of thinking that are so easy. Even in the church, we have to be very careful not to go revert back to those things, right? Not to, okay, well, it's okay, because it, no, keep reminding and encouraging with truth those that you know that are going through difficulty. So let's talk about some things that we can do for personal devotions. I'm going to suggest a few, but then I would love to hear what ideas you can contribute, what things you have done for personal devotions that you really love. There is a workbook called Are You a Believer?, which is designed to minister to those who want to grow in their walk with the God. That's a good option. Some of the things we talked about previously were the time that works best for you, that's the time that's going to work. So find the time that you can be the most consistent, or several times a day. And I often do that, because sometimes in the morning I feel like it takes a while for my brain to wake up. So I will study and be reading, but it's like, what was I reading? Yes. So I'll write down what I'm reading while I'm reading, taking notes on it. But then coming in the afternoon and spending a little of time reading, it's like, my brain is like fresher, it's sharper. Mm-hmm. Find a consistent place. There's much to be said for muscle memory. That might be something that works really well for you. Go to a consistent place if possible to study God's word. Keep what you need nearby. So for a long season, I'd have a basket on the floor, and I'd have like my Bible and my notebook and my journal, and I'd have it all in there, and then I could just pick it up and I'd like put it next to my chair, and that's where I'd sit, and that's where I would do Bible time. Not every season. I don't really have that right now. I just have a huge basket next to my bed that's full of books that I keep having to shuffle out because I'm trying to read too many things at once. But that's what has worked, is having little things nearby that are ready, a pen and a journal. I finally bought like a billion notebooks that are like little thin, I don't have any with me, they're like 50 cents each or something. I bought like 30 of them because I was like, I'm tired of running out of notebooks. And I want to write down, because I'm not ever going to look at it again, but writing it down helps me put it in my memory. It makes me think about, what am I reading? What am I thinking? How does this apply to me? Does anybody else have anything they want to share that's worked, or even help troubleshoot? I'm stuck.
I like doing read through the Bible in a year because it's structured.
Mm.
And that way there's a date and it says read this. And I've done it a couple different ways. Linda suggested, which I did last year, was chronological. You can get a Bible that it's in chronological order. And that kind of puts things in the historical context better, but it's at least you're reading the word on a daily basis, and you don't have to think, what am I supposed to read, because it's right there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So if that is a challenge for you, a devotional or a reading plan, and that's kind of what we're going to talk about next, so we can kind of transition to that. No, that's perfect segue. If you are like, I don't want to have to come up with what I'm reading, which is, it's a good thing to have a plan, because we probably all heard that phrase about if you don't make a plan, you plan to fail. Yes. So mm-hmm. You are failing to plan if you don't have a plan. Mm-hmm. So don't not have a plan. Have a plan. But it may not be Bible in the air. it may be something else. So there's like 1,000 different studies, right? There's the Robert Machine reading plan. There's really in the back of your Bible, there's probably a John MacArthur. If you have a John MacArthur Bible, there's reading plans always in there. You can go online to like Tim Challey's. You can go online to any of like the book like Crossway or Reformation Trust. Any of them, they'll tell you little like resources and tell you different Bible plans that you can read through. You could also choose a short book of the Bible and you can read it through every day for a month. You could pick a chapter of Proverbs and read it daily. There's 31 Proverbs. It fits perfectly in a month. You could read a psalm a day. You could use a read through your Bible in a year or 2 years or 3 years or 5 years plan. Sometimes, this is a good addendum, a little asterisk, right? Sometimes if you are in a busy season, not just as a mom, but if you are in a busy season, you might have a tendency to think, I'm not doing enough. I'm only reading my Bible and praying. I've got to get like a study. I need to be writing things down and filling things. I need to be looking things up. I need to be opening commentaries. Before you do that, write out what you're doing and then thank God for it. Before you go grab something else to try to fill, I've got to be doing more. Do that first. There's seasons for each of these different types of studies. You may not be in the season where you read through your Bible in a year. I don't think I've ever read through my Bible in a year. I always get stuck somewhere. I'm like, this is so rich. I want to study it more. And then I do. And I'm okay with that. My husband's okay with that. But that may not be for you. The point is, keep reading and studying, right? Keep going through the scripture and digging deeper into a book of the Bible. Maybe come alongside another lady and ask her to read with you or hold you accountable. There's also a really great online program I have used before by a woman named Pam Forrester. She has a company called Doorpost Publishing. She has lots of studies you can order in print. She has these really lovely charts that we will talk about next time. And she has a online subscription for Bible studies called Mama's Refill. It's like $40 a year or something. And she has all these Bible studies that you can do online. And you can sign up for the email and just come right to your inbox. And it's literally, I've done James 1 with her, James 2 with her. I did Psalm. Song I did, it's been a lot of years. But I loved it because she has you open up your Bible and it's right there. I don't have to go get lots of books. I can use my like Blue Letter Bible app. I can use my Bible, open it up, and I'm just reading and she's asking you questions and it's right there in front of me. And it helps me to dig in. Does anybody else have anything that they have done with reading and studying? They're like, this was really great. I would recommend.
Question.
Yeah.
Sort of. Following back what you were saying. Pam Forrester, is she out of Oregon?
Yes.
She helped do the wet flowers at my wedding. Yes. She and one of her girlfriends, I just knew them, long story, but they just love to do flowers for weddings, and so they didn't even charge me for doing it. They just love to do it.
Wow.
I was like, wow, I'm still going to give you something as a thank you, but wow. But for studying on my own, I would say when I got married later in life as a 37, almost 37, I think, after having a long period of singleness and kind of having my own schedule and my own routine for so long, getting married later, that was one of the hardest things to adjust to, was how do I fit in Bible time when I have this very sweet, very attentive husband who wants to be with me all the time, like our black lab that we had, like just always wants to be there, always wants to be chatting, wants to talk about everything. And I was like, how do I get private Bible time? So it took me probably the first year of our marriage to find a routine. So I would say for you younger women, as you move into that stage of life of getting married, be thinking about that and planning ahead for that, and talk about that with your intended, of how that's gonna look. And that would be my challenge to you, because I really would have benefited more from better planning. Mm-hmm. But at this stage of life, what's been great is Michael gets up with James and gives him his bottle, and they have like about 45 mm-hmm. minutes of just dad and son time in his mm-hmm. room. And I get up and I can have my Bible time mm-hmm. mostly in quiet. And that's worked really well. Now that I'm pregnant, it's a little hard to get out of bed in the morning. But I'm working on it. And as of right now, I'm going through the book of Ephesians, just an example of something you can do as a study. I'm going through the book of Ephesians. So I started with chapter 1, and each day I read through chapter 1, and then I pull out my journal and I copy out starting from verse 1 and copy up that section. The next day, I read chapter 1 again. I pick up where I left off yesterday, and I keep copying, because copy work, for me, is really effective to get it into my brain and into my heart. Mm-hmm. And I'm like you. I have all these journals that I will probably never really open up and look at again. Michael's like, what do we have all these boxes? I'm like, I just can't throw them away. They're there.
My kids will read them like this.
So I do that, and then I have a prayer app on my phone that I have used, and I copy scriptures into that as prayers for myself and for others. And so I have all these different categories of prayer requests that I use. And so I don't pray through everything every day, but there are certain ones, of course, are daily, and other ones that I'm like, I'll pray this day and this day and this day. And if anybody's interested in that app, I'd be happy to share what it is, because it's free and it's great.
Yeah, tell us what the app is called.
I think it's called Prayer NB, like Prayer Notebook. I'll pull it up so you guys can see the little icon. Yes, Prayer NB. So it's white with like a little bookmarky looking thing.
Right there.
White one.
Yes.
And what's it called?
Prayer NB, like notebook.
Notebook.
Okay. And it has been very helpful to help me be organized. So I have like categories where I can pray for motherhood, and I pray for adoration of the Lord and confession and thanksgiving, and I pray for my siblings, and I pray for my kids, and I pray for the church and all these different things. So you can't pray for everything every single day, but I'm a lists person, so that really helps me to be like, okay, today I'm going to pray for these things. So
yes.
And it's with you all the time.
Right. The Bible app also has a really good prayer. Like, just write, if you download the regular Bible app, it'll have like a little, let's pray now. And I have mine set up to remind me. It's like, hey, let's get some prayer time in. And it always does it around like the same time. And I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to leave in 10 minutes. I have time. And then I just sit down and do it.
Nice.
But it's really good because it's like, it's got like soft music, you know, and it kind of prompts you with like how to talk to, like what you want to say. Oh, now praise God for this. And what are you thinking about? Tell them about this. And I love how it tells me what to do. Because then I'll start. Because I don't know where to start. I'll just sit there and be like, God, I don't know what to say.
Oh.
You know? And then it helps me, and then I keep going.
Yeah.
So I really like that.
Yeah. More is more usually in the Christian life.
Yeah. Oh, and then one other thing that I just started doing is James, who's my son, he's 1 year old, and so we spend a lot of time sitting at the table waiting for him to eat. And I run out of things to do. So I've actually been like, okay, when he was first born, I read through the whole book of Proverbs to him. And so I was like, okay, let's start this again. So each day of the month, I'm sitting at the dining room table while he's slowly eating whatever he's eating. And I'm reading him that chapter out of Proverbs that day. So I'm probably leaning more from it than he is.
Amen.
But it's really good.
Amen.
It's better than sitting there on social media while I'm waiting for him to finish.
Amen. That's a very good point, Christine, which is Bible time with your kids is also Bible time for you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So don't feel like that you're shortcutting yourself because you're like, well, I only read it this morning with my kids. The Bible's the Bible. It's only God's word for them. No, it was for you also.
Yeah.
All right, who else wants to share these things? This is so helpful.
Well, I pray through that acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. And so A is for adoration, C is for confession, T, thanksgiving, S, supplication. So I'm doing the MacArthur Daily Bible, and so it's got Old Testament, a Psalm, a Proverb, and then the New Testament. So I'll take maybe part of the Psalm and write that out in my adoration section. And then in confession, you know, whatever, or thanksgiving, I might take something from one of those Psalms or Proverbs, or even from the scripture, you know, whatever. And then the supplication requests. And I have done it in the past. I've kind of gotten out of the habit, but I like acronyms. So Monday is for missions and ministry. Tuesday is T, so that's for my tasks. Wednesday is witness, W, witness. Thursday, T is Thanksgiving. Friday is family. Saturday is sinners. And Sunday is saints. Oh, so nice. Then I add to my list.
Did you come up with that on you? I love it.
I heard it at a diabetes program. Oh. A lady was talking about things for diabetes. And I said, I could do that for my prayer time.
I love that. Well, we can talk about, let's talk about some prayer suggestions then while we're talking. These are some great reminders. So you guys have a handout too that talks about some ideas with prayer so that we'll pull those out in just a second. Praying, increasing your time in prayer. I think we would all probably say we want to increase our time in prayer with the Lord. Some of the ways you can do that, so some suggestions might be have a set time of day to pray alone with God when your kids aren't awake. Pray scripture back to the Lord. Like you were saying, Erica, like, what am I praying? Great, pray the scripture. Like, just pull it out as you were saying Proverbs 3:5-6, right? Lord, help me to lean on you today in everything. Help me to acknowledge you. I know that you're going to make my path straight as I acknowledge you in everything. Pray with your kids during the meal and teach them how to pray. Teach them how to hold their hands, close their eyes, how to be quiet when others are praying, to repeat what you're saying until they learn how to pray on their own, and teach them how to pray scripture. I've had a lot of kids I've had to say, let's just pray scripture, because we kept praying, we hope people have a good time. And I'm like, I don't even know what that prayer is. I'm not really concerned about a good time. Like, and it was fruitless because they weren't learning how to pray, what the point of prayer was. And so being able to direct them. So once we had some memory we've memorized a couple passages, like you know James 1, you know Proverbs 3, you know sections of Psalm 119. Let's pray those. We know that God wants everyone to be wise. So why don't we pray that they would be wise, not about their specific sin. Out loud. Or good times. Praying at family devotions. I try to do that with my kids, giving them time to everybody to pray. So it's not every day that everyone prays, but we will do like one up or one down. So everybody prays for the person older than them or the person younger than them. And oftentimes there's like, you know, now there's like three of us at devotion or four of us, and because everybody's in different places and they're working or whatever. So it's like, okay, we need to pray for those people and pray for people at church. Do we know anybody? We'll pick days. Okay, let's think about, we just saw people at church yesterday. Did we learn any new prayer requests? Is there anybody that we know that's not feeling well? Is there anybody that we know that just had a new baby? Is there anybody that we know needs specific prayer? What about in our neighborhood? So helping our kids to remember about how can we pray for them? What does that look like? And even having our kids, teaching our kids how to ask for prayer requests. So teaching them, what do you want prayer for? And I ask them and get them to tell me what they want prayer for. So they'll start off saying, I want prayer to get my school done. Okay, that's not a bad prayer, but what spiritual quality, what character attribute do you need to get your school done? Be diligent? Yes, be diligent. That's a great prayer request. One kid might ask, like, I want prayer that I would be diligent and something else. And I'm like, well, that's not an issue for them, really, their character. I'm like, you know, or they're having trouble thinking, is there anything that mom seems to be talking to you a lot about the last few days? And their siblings are usually going, oh, oh, oh. I'm like, no, let them. And I'm like, oh, just speak kindly. I'm like, that probably is a good prayer, but right? Yeah, that's a good prayer. Okay, so speak kindly. Helping them really give, right? Because we want to be faithful when we're also talking to the Lord, being vulnerable about our prayers and with others, our sisters, when we have small group, when we have a Bible study, right? Like, there's a time to pray for, like, our aunt's neighbor's dog or whatever, right? There's not a bad thing, or someone's broken hip that lives next door to, you know, our uncle's sister. But when we are giving prayer requests with our sisters in Christ and with our family members, right, we want to encourage vulnerability. And the point of time in prayer is to talk about, what is your spiritual need? Like, yes, you might have a cold, but is that your spiritual need? No, like, I have a cold and I want to grumble and I want everything to be about me. I want everyone to serve me. I feel entitled. I'm really bummed because I can't do these things that are on my to-do list today because I have a cold. Ah, okay, so that's the heart issue. That's how I can pray for you. Mm-hmm. Teaching my kids that and praying during family time. Having a card, like Edie, you said, for days of the week, for Mondays, for missions, etc. So dividing our prayer up so it's very strategic and planned out. Another idea is that when we promise to pray for someone, just do it right away. Mm-hmm. So I often will tell someone, I am praying for you. And then immediately when I leave their presence, I'm praying for Holly on the way home. Mm-hmm. I add prayer requests to my calendar. So I got home Sunday night from our park time, and I was like, this is still great. My whole calendar was filled up with people's things. Someone is taking a trip. Someone's having a surgery. Someone's having a procedure. Someone this. And I'm like, these are all my prayer requests. And then the next day when I'm looking, I'm like, oh, I'm praying for the Emmetts. They're going on a trip today. It helps me remember because it's in my calendar and I see it. There's a lot of other options I could give you. What kinds of things do you all do to pray that you have found have helped to stimulate prayer for you? Or what are some obstacles you're like, I don't know how to get over this with prayer. Help. Brainstorming.
I think when you, and you said you go home and pray for people who say something to you, I think if you pray right then, at least for me, then I remember to pray for them. I'm praying with them right then.
There's an app similar to the one that Christine was talking about. It's called PrayerMate, and it's free. Same thing. You can put in different categories. You can pull in from their resources different types of prayers. And also, when I was kind of really struggling with prayer, I think it's Donald Whitney has an app. It's called Five Psalms. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that one, because that's praying God's word right back to him. And it'll pull up whatever the day, and it goes by the calendar day. Yeah. So that one I found, it just, when I was kind of like really stuck.
Yes.
Yeah. And also our church app. Prayer requests are on there. Among other things.
That is fabulous. Erica, would you read Psalm 42:8 for us?
Yes. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life.
What about praying when an ambulance passes with the kids? Mm-hmm. I've done that with my kids. Now they're pretty trained. They see an ambulance. Mom, we need to pray. Sounds great, buddy. Let's pray. Mm-hmm. Making prayer your first response. So training your mind to think on prayer when you wake up. So making that a desire, right? Like, I want my heart to be tuned to the Lord so that when I wake up, my first thoughts are, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm just saying thank you. I just love him. I'm so grateful to him, right? The Lord says give thanks. You don't have to feel thankful, but we need to give thanks. And sometimes the feelings follow. Sometimes they don't. That's okay. But the promise is that God blesses us when we walk in his ways. So setting our mind on him so that prayer becomes your natural response so that when you are in crisis, when you're in a moment lacking wisdom, your immediate prayer. When you're tempted and frustrated, and as you set that example, the people around you will remind you. I had a kid come up to me the other day. I couldn't find something, and I was frustrated because I was like, I need to have this thing. I want to leave. I don't know where it is. And everything in me wanted me to blame all the people around me, like, it's one of you that put me in this position. And he came up to me. He's like, Mom, have you prayed? And I'm like, you're right, I haven't. And it was just in that it was perfect. It was great. It was something I had done to him a million times, and now he was blessing me. And it was just like, Lord, I'm just so dumb and foolish and getting angry about this dumb thing. It doesn't matter. Just forgive me. Like, oh, this is so great. Mm-hmm. Teaching him to cry out to the Lord. Lord, you know where this thing is. I don't know where it is. If I need it, please help me find it. Remembering that the Lord cares about even our lost keys, our whatever you can't find, your pair of shorts, right? Like, whatever it is that you're like, I don't know where this is. I wish I did. Maybe reading about people who are prayers. So Corrie Ten Boom, George Mueller. Has anybody else read any good suggestions for bios on people who are prayers?
Elizabeth Elliot.
Another example is to cry out to the Lord verbally so that your kids can hear when you're being tested. One of the most distinct memories I have about this is when we were driving, and it's happened a few times, and we've been on the interstate, and it's been a really bad storm, and I'm driving, and it just so happens Carissa tends to be, my 16-year-old, tends to be right next to me, and I'm just, okay, music down. I don't know why leaning forward and music down helps, but it does. And I'm praying and driving. Lord, this is really scary. Please protect us. Help us get to where we need to go. I trust you. I love you. I know nothing can happen outside of your will. Can't be thwarted, so we're in the storm because you want us to be here. And just saying that, and they see that, and then as they were in a storm, and I wasn't there, and she's driving with her sister, she said, Mom, please pray for us. We're in a bad storm. We're praying. And I knew she was mimicking what she had seen me do, which is just our natural instinct as believers. Like, Lord, I'm scared, right? Like, Peter, Lord, I'm afraid, right? It's okay. He's with us. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to handle it on our own. So let's talk about what difference has prayer or study meant in your life. Can you give an example or share with us, anything you'd like to share, when you have had no prayer or study versus prayer and study, what that has looked like in your life?
I know when I'm not studying and when I'm studying, I feel deficient in something, mm-hmm. like something is missing and I'm weaker and it's just harder to get through the day. But when I start the day in His Word and prayer, it's just like I'm a whole new person. You know, I just have the strength, I can get through it. And I'm like, how did I do it? And I'm like, oh, because I started the day right in His Word and prayer. It's amazing. Yeah.
That's great.
I think there is definitely something to be said for doing it first thing in the morning. I think that honors God, that I'm not going to do anything until I'm in the Word. Mm-hmm. And having had a lot of babies, I too was like, I can't function. I have to have sleep. And the Lord really convicted me of that. About, I'm going to leave the precious growth of my soul so that I can take care of a body that will rot in a grave. That makes no sense. And I found that the Lord knows, because I would say, but I need sleep. Really? The Lord is sovereign. You will get the sleep when you need the sleep. You think you can do... I think Taylor told me this, talking to someone who was in the Marines. They said, most guys, they'll get to the point where they're like, I cannot go on. And they're actually only about 30% done. So, you know, like that's, they have that much more to give. And so you'll be tested when you have children. And you think, I can't go on 2 hours of sleep a night. Well, you can. If the Lord says you can, you can. And you honor Him by getting up. Even though you want that sleep, you get up and you honor Him and say, I have to do this first because this is most important. And I was one of those ones who had to pray, Lord, show me how important it is. Because if I believe that it is that important, I will do it. That's a no-brainer. But I don't really understand how important it is, how much I need it. So show me. Help me to see that. So that's always been just... started me off getting up at 5:30 in the morning, just so I could be before the kids got up, for sure. Mm-hmm. And then I trained them all to sleep late because I homeschooled. So that was my thing. And I like praying outside, out of earshot mm-hmm. of the kids. I'm not even home. My husband is home. That's one of the reasons I got up at 5:30. It was like he left for work 7:45. I had to be able to do my Bible study and then go out for my walk so I could pray before he left for work. Yeah. And so it was like I had to be outside of their, where I couldn't hear them because there was no other way to. You can understand that, right? You're just, you're always listening. You're always hearing what's going on. So I had to leave the house. Mm-hmm. I still do that. I have to leave the house. And there isn't really anybody there anymore. But I still leave the house.
There's a dog, but you take her with you.
Yeah.
Yes. There is something to be said about, so there's not just like one right way, right? Like you can pray standing, you can pray walking, you can be sitting, you can mm-hmm. be kneeling, you can be out loud, you can be whispering, you can be in your head, right? There's all these ways. But there's something to be said for trying to do something you haven't done and see what happens, right? Mm-hmm. So if you pray normally quietly in your head, try taking a walk by yourself and pray out loud or in your car by yourself, right? If you normally pray out loud, spend time quietly sitting and praying and see what happens. Because sometimes there's opportunities there that we haven't seen before. We're like, oh, wow, I didn't realize I was spending so much of my time on this or that thing. I know when I pray out loud, it's almost like I'm realizing what I'm praying as I pray. Like, I've had so many times like that where I'm praying, Lord, I want to do this thing, but my husband wants me to do this thing, but I want to do this thing, and I know your word says that I please you by pleasing my husband, but I want to do this thing, but I just, oh, I just need to do what he asked me to do. Okay. And it was just like, in the prayer time, I thought I was praying to God, but really God was changing me as I was praying. And so there are those opportunities where we hear this among each other, and it should be an encouragement, like, oh, I'm going to try that. I'm going to take that home. I'm going to reach out. Linda, what was the book you were saying? Oh, what were you doing, Sarah? Okay, I'm going to try those things and see how does that work and how can I fit that into my life? Is there anybody else that wants to share anything about what they practiced or what they do? We can also take a look at these application pages you have in front of you if you guys want. We can pull those out. So there's a daily Bible reading sample, a little index card, and the other one underneath it is a prayer card sample, which is a lot like what Edie, you were talking about, dividing up your days into opportunities to pray for different things. So, and there's some suggestions on there for devotional books, like Morning and Evening by Spurgeon, Valley of Vision, Strength for Today by John MacArthur, some different Bible reading plans. One encouragement I would have is if you are reading in the Old Testament, make sure that you're spending a little time in the New Testament for scripture memory and for some encouragement. The Old Testament can get thick. It doesn't mean it's bad. I mean, I'm in Exodus right now. I was laughing about that this morning. I was like, Hannah, wouldn't it be funny if our ordination was like what Moses did with those Levites, where they all had to go slew the 3,000 in the camp that wouldn't come to the side of the Lord? Like, that's ordination. There's no council with questions. You're just getting out your sword. That would be wild. So there's nothing wrong with that, but make sure that you're also spending some time being encouraged in the New Testament as well for scripture memory. And then also you can use a notebook for your prayer time and list out all of the people in your body and in your family and in your friends and pray through them. You can do it at lunch with your slow eating toddler at dinner time. You can use an acronym like ACTS for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. Look up the scripture and then pray in that line. So pray with gratitude, pray with supplication. Singing is really important. So if you don't like to sing, you can look up a hymn. And you can just meditate on those words because there are some hymns that are so rich. The lyrics are such a blessing, straight from scripture, almost a lot of them, that you can just really be blessed to hear how someone else took the scripture, how it impacted them, and out came this beautiful song to worship God. So those are some good examples of ways that we can apply in our own life. And then I brought a few books I thought I would show you from our resources page. And Linda, you brought a couple books too. You want me to hand the ones you brought and you can share? Okay.
This one is on the list in the back of the book. And I have to admit, I opened my closet and I'm like, oh, that's the book that was the... I've never read it. Nobody's ever read it. It's a brand new book. But now I'm looking at it, and so Dr. Wayne Mack wrote a book on prayer and wrote a book on Bible study, and then they took it and they combined it into this, the Twin Pillars. So it's both of them with added things. And as I'm flipping through this tonight, getting familiar with it, I'm like, I need to read this. If you want to, afterwards, you can look through and look at the table of contents. It looks phenomenal on just exactly how to pray, how to study. And then this one I was very excited about, Alone with God by John MacArthur, where he goes through the Lord's Prayer. And then my son told me, oh, I remember that book. It messed me up in the head for years. So he read it when he was too young and in a very legalistic phase, and so then he had to pray exactly this way, which you have to be careful of acts too, if you tend toward that, where then you can never just in, you know, you're like in a situation and you want to pray for something, but you're going, but I need help right now, but I have to do adoration, and then I have to do confession, and then I have to do Thanksgiving. So you have to be careful not to use those things where you get stuck and it becomes rote and automatic, and so change it up. Don't get stuck. But this is a good book because it says, I mean, Jesus said, pray like this. So that's what that's about.
I love that. All right, I brought a couple too. Another one for praying. So there are actually a ton of these, like the power of a praying parent, of a praying husband, of a praying wife. These are really helpful because they just tell you the prayer. So you are just praying exactly the words here. So if you're like, I really don't know, and then the scriptures are on the page and the scriptures are within the prayer, it's very helpful to, if you're just like, I just don't want to have to come up with something, this is a good thing to prime your pump. This is a great devotional book, Streams in the Desert. And then there's another devotion I brought. I brought Valley of Vision here too.
Oh, that's such a good book.
Just so lovely. Yeah, those are really great devotionals. And then I brought a great book on prayer also, which I probably won't finish before I die. That's okay. I keep reading it and like turning down corners and then rereading it. I think I'm only this far maybe, but I just keep rereading that section. I've read little chunks out of the other, but this is like 7 of his books in one. So actually maybe if we get one at a time, you'll feel like you have more success. Like, I finished a book, but I'm just like, I'm never going to finish this. But it's so, so good and encouraging. Another option, if you're like, what do I do for devotional time, is get a little book like this. So this is on anxiety, but you could get, there's a ton of them. So this is a 31-day devotional. So it's like every day you just open it up and you're reading scripture and you're answering questions. It kind of helps lead you through, especially if you like doing something. If you're a doer, this is, might be helpful for you. Similarly, Daily Grace Co. This is one I have on my shelf. I haven't started yet. These are like $5. They're really great gifts too. They're really beautiful and they have little questions in them and scripture. So it just leads you through. It's almost like fail-proof. You're just like, okay, I just follow this. And then a lot of times you'll probably hit a scripture you really like and you're like, I just want to sit there for a while. This is really good. That's helpful. Maybe get out your index card and write it down. These little daggers are great. So like Lou Priolo, Ed Welch, there's a lot of like this. You just go on Amazon, they're like $5. Read it and cry and read it again. These are really good too. These are the journals. So this one's for Romans, but they just have empty pages where you can write down notes and the scripture for each section. So they have these on almost every book of the Bible. So if you're going through a book, you can write those down. And then lastly, also bios. We talked about reading bios on people who pray, but also people who prioritize the any point of godliness in their life can be such an encouragement. I incorporate that into my reading usually in the evening time. I love reading about other people who've done great. I'm like, I can do great things for the Lord. Yes, if he did it, I can do it. So that's really encouraging. I just brought in one of my notebooks to show you an example. So you, to be an encouragement that it doesn't have to look any one way. I'm not actually going to pass it around because I don't even know all the things I wrote in there, but this is what it looks like. It's messy. It's just writing down things. I'm writing down, sometimes there's a grocery list in there, right? But I'm writing down, who am I praying for? What am I praying about? And the scriptures and the points, and I'm intermixing it, and there's some hymns in there from, Your Hobby Leading Music and Grace Life. That's what I pull out, and I'm just writing it down. It doesn't have to look any particular way. There's no highlighters. It's not like linear. It doesn't get typed up. Nobody sees it except me. Usually, unless one of my kids, and they're welcome to read it, but it's just for me to be able to help keep my brain functioning and engaged while I am trying to take in God's word and not just let it, we don't just want it to be a colander, right? We want it to have some substance and we want it to leave a residue, right? And that, so I'm pouring all my thoughts through that grid. I want to have the grid there real firm in my mind, and if I write it down, I'm thinking on it throughout the day, like, I don't know, is that really true and lovely? I probably shouldn't be thinking of that. It's helpful. Is there anything else anybody wants to add or have questions?
Yes. Andrew Case has a book, Prayers of an Excellent Wife, which is all scripture, and he puts the scripture references at the bottom. He might do like Psalm 119 and take various sections out, but it will all be from that particular psalm. Or he'll combine two books and choose prayers, but it's all scripture.
Andrew Case.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
And under the devotional books, like the John MacArthur Strength for Today, Drawing Near Daily Readings, if you go on the GTY website, you can get these emailed to you daily electronically for free. And same thing with Morning and Evening, Charles Spurgeon. You can also get those emailed. Like, if some people need the prompt or are more electronic, and free. You can't beat free.
And Bible Recap is another one. It's a chronological read through the Bible, which is really interesting, and then different prayers and things. I forget the lady who does it. But it's an interesting one. I won't do it every year, but
I think along with all this, sometimes if we're short on time, I think a good practice is to, if you're struggling with something, find a good verse that addresses it, mm-hmm. and meditate on it. Meditating is a very difficult discipline, but it's super, super effective in battling sin, in renewing your mind, and helping you to battle the sin. I've found that to be just super helpful. Like sometimes you'll be reading a devotional and it's kind of like, it's not where I am. You know, it's not really addressing anything that's in my heart. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's just a matter of, let me go to my concordance in my Bible, look up verses till I find one that really addresses that, that I can hang on to, that I can use in the moment. Like one about, I was a preschool teacher and I was in a room with 16 toddlers, 8 hours a day, with sometimes only one other person. And we were like potty training half of them, and it's stressful. So having 7 kids was nothing. So this was hard. And the director, if I raised my voice at all in frustration, she could hear me and she could come in and pull me out of the class. So I clung to the verse in James about, you know, now I'm not going to be able to say it, about anger, and about, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And I meditated on that. If I am angry, I am never doing what God wants me to do. When I'm angry because I want something, I will never do what's righteous. And that verse just taught me. It would just pop into my mind. So sometimes even just grabbing a verse and meditating on it can be so effective, you know. And you may, like, I didn't do like 6 pages of Bible study today. I just did one verse, and actually it's been the same verse every week, every day for a week. But that's how God transforms you. That's how he, that's renewing your mind. And that's what sanctification is all about. So. Just that, because I have found, like, picking up a devotional and time after time you're just going, I'm not relating to this. It's not speaking to anything that I'm in the middle of. So doing your own is, and it doesn't take a lot of tools. Everybody's got a concordance. If you have a Bible app on your phone, you can just type in anger and come up with a gazillion verses, you know? So, I mean, you don't have to be a theologian to figure that out, but...
Another great thing is after we listen to God's Word taught in the sermon on Sunday, and then we go home and we often forget what the sermon was about and how does it apply to our life. So I've gone through seasons in my private time of study that I will pull back out my sermon notes and maybe recopy out what the outline was and what the scripture verse was, and maybe recopy that each day of the week so that I'm continually reminding myself what the sermon was, what the sermon text was, or in advance of what the coming text is. So be meditating on it before, and that has also been a really good exercise.
Yeah.
If that's something that would be helpful to anybody.
Yeah, that's good. Let's pray.
Those are great. Whatever you have is sufficient. You don't need all the tools. Just take something and do it. Be consistent. Do something. Something is better. Far better than nothing. And
one of the things I read about, again, in struggling with prayer, because I'm one of those more of a thought, I need a method, I need a way to do it. And I read this short article, and it was called Pray Until You Pray. And it was basically just saying, okay, you think you can't start? Just start. You may not feel like it, just do it. Like you were just saying, do something. Do, you know, you don't need all of them.
That's exactly right. Well, on that note, so you want to pray for us, Douglas?
Sure.